Turn to the 15th chapter of John. Over the past several weeks, we have talked about what we are, who God tells us we are, not necessarily who we think we are, but what the Scriptures tells us that we are. And having gone over some just wonderful, outstanding truths that are contained in God's Word about who we are, I'd like to continue on with a few other things that there are some things in God's Word that we've been talking about that are unconditional. That means there are no conditions that need to be met on our part. But there are many things in God's Word that are conditional. That means that there are things that need, conditions that need to be met for these things to happen or to be true or for us to be in that state. One of them is discipleship. There is no conditions that need to be met for you to be made a son of God. Right? God met all of the conditions that were needed in order to make us sons of God, children of God. And yet there are many things that are conditional in the Word of God. And those things that are conditional have to do with our discipleship or how close we're walking with the Lord. And Jesus is a master at teaching us about discipleship. This is one of the things that He talked a lot about. The Bible is very full of conditional things, and if it is conditional on our part, then it is talking about our discipleship and how close we walk with our Father and how we conduct ourselves as His sons. Chapter 15 of John, Jesus, as He always did, almost always, used agriculture to explain, or natural things, to explain spiritual things, and He does so here in John 15. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. If ye abide in me," that's conditional, right? "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye shall keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. That was a lot of reading, 17 verses. But oh, the teaching that's in the 17 verses. He starts it off and he says, I am the true vine. That means that there are other vines out there, but he's the true vine. There's other ways of getting sustenance, but not the kind of sustenance that you get from the true vine. And his Father is the husbandman. Now what does that mean? Let's set this up, because I want us to really get this. I want us to think about a grapevine, a muscadine vine or something like that. And those muscadine vines or grapevines, they grow and they grow fast, and they need someone to take care of, right? The Father is the husbandman in this analogy. And the husbandman is the one that takes care of it and tends it, nourishes it, the vine, and dungs it. He fertilizes it. He digs around it. He takes care of it and all that. He prunes it. And Jesus said, I'm that vine. And my Father is the one who prunes it, takes care of it. And he says, this vine has branches. And there are branches, some that bring forth fruit and some that don't. He says, every branch in me. Now, is this talking about being a son or being a disciple? Are these branches in him? Are these branches in him? He said they were. But there are some branches that don't bear fruit. I don't understand why that is, but it is so. And if that branch does not bear fruit, it's taking nourishment away from the ones that are. You get it? What happens to these ones that don't bear fruit? Says God takes them away. The husbandman, the one that takes care of it, takes it away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. You know what purging means? It means to prune it, that it may bring forth more fruit. What are the branches that don't bring forth fruit for? The branches that bring forth fruit, that don't bring forth fruit, they're sucking the nourishment from the ones that are. In a natural way, we can see grapevines and all that, that you can't let them grow wild. If you let them grow wild, the grapes will be small and they'll be too shaded to receive any light. Did y'all know that every year, I mean, sometimes grapevines grow like, what do they call them, shoots or I can't get exactly the term for it. Huh?
Suckers.
Suckers. They grow their vines sometimes up to 20 feet in a year. And all that, they have leaves on them and they look green and they look really pretty, but you know what they are? They're just shade to keep the fruit from growing and receiving a lot of sunlight and getting sweet. That's what they are. Do you know that every year when they prune back grapevines, they take 90% of the wood on that vine off? Did y'all know that? They prune 90% of that vine off. That's what the Lord's talking about here. He's talking about those that are bearing fruit are going to be purged. And there are some times when you're training a vine that, and every year you cut off, maybe it's got 8 or 10 branches on it, but for it to grow properly and so that the whole vine would be sustained and grow right, then there's some of the suckers that have to be pruned off right at the bark, right down to the vine, and let the others grow right. Now, even off the ones that grow, there every year, they because apparently the second year wood is the only kind that grows fruit. So you got to let it grow 1 year, and then you got to prune it back. Right? You got to prune it back. And you prune it back all the way until you got 2 or 3 little buds on that thing that's coming off the main vine. So you might have a stump on that vine or a little stick, a little shoot coming off that long with 2 or 3 buds. And that's where the fruit's going to grow. But all the other stuff you got to get rid of, or else it will suck the nourishment off the fruit. Do y'all get that? Y'all know what the Lord's talking about here? He says His Father purges those that are going to bring forth fruit. He purges them. What does that mean for our lives today? What does that mean? That means that there are things in our life that are sucking the life, or sucking the nourishment and choking out the Word, or choking out our spiritual part, that would keep us from really enjoying the spiritual life we have. It's taking our sucking the life out of our discipleship in acting like a good son, or being a good branch, bringing forth good fruit. There are things in our lives that are shading it and keeping it from being nourished, keeping it from getting sunlight. You know, the fruit that's got the most sun, exposed to the most sun, is the sweetest kind of fruit. Did y'all know that? It ripens up real good. How many of y'all got stuff in your life that is sucking the life out of your discipleship? I do. I got things in my life that are sucking the discipleship right out of me. What does God do to those? Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You know, when God prunes you back, I mean, let's just think about it. You're a happy vine, okay? You're a happy branch on a vine. And you're going along and you're getting those little tendrils, you know, those little things that wrap around a wire. That's called a tendril. You're getting tendrils and you're wrapping onto the wire and you're going and you're just happy and you're growing and all. And then God comes along and snips that thing right off and you're like, whoa, I've lost something in my life. Things aren't going the way that I was comfortable doing that. I was comfortable grabbing hold to the wire and grabbing hold to whatever. I was happy and content growing wild. And God cut that off. You reckon God had a reason for cutting it off? I reckon He did. You know what the purpose was for? So that you bring forth more fruit. Jesus tells us next, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Does He mean that you've been washed from your sins because of the word He's spoken to you? Not here, it don't. If you look at a grapevine, before it's pruned, from just 1 year's growth, that thing looks like a jungle. Okay? Looks like a jungle. But when the Lord talked to us, when He began saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," up through the Sermon in the Mount and up through all of His teachings where He had talked to the disciples and told them about the wheat and the tares and told them about loving one another and told them about the greatest among you is going to be your servant and to humble yourself and to be exalted that way. And then He talks about all the principles of the kingdom. And then He says, "Now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you." And what does that mean? That means that you have been pruned by my word. I have taken the sandpaper and I have scuffed you off so that you can get down to the bare wood. I have pruned you off now. And you're ready to start bearing fruit this upcoming year. You know, we need to let the Word clean us. I'm not talking about clean us as washing away our sins. I'm talking about it needs to prune us back so that we can keep from growing wild. And how often does that need to happen? It needs to happen very often. They even prune some of the trees during the season, or some of the stuff during the season. If there's something that's shading the fruit too much, they'll cut it off. If y'all want to look at it, you can go to YouTube and figure out, you know, Google it. You know, YouTube, how to prune grapevines. It'll give you a lot of great info. And if you apply that stuff spiritually, it'll be a blessing to your life. But I tell you what, The Lord certainly did clean them, didn't He? When Peter was up there, he said, Lord, he said, I must go to Jerusalem and I must be crucified and all that of the Jews, my countrymen and all that. And Peter said, nope, never going to be that way. No, it's not going to happen. Not so, Lord. And what did Jesus say? He said, get thee behind me, Satan. For thou desirest the things that be of men more than the things of God. I don't know if that's exactly how he put it. But I tell you what, Peter needed to be pruned from his thinking, from his way of thinking. He was just thinking right here. Jesus was saying, if I don't go, son, you're not going to have a chance. If I don't go, you're not going to... I said that wrong because salvation is not by chance anyway. Hallelujah. It's by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But he said, if I don't go, you're going to remain in your sins. Ultimately, that's what he meant. Now, he certainly pruned Peter back a bunch of times, didn't he? And you know what? If we're going to bear fruit in the kingdom of God, we have got to take heed to His word and it's got to prune us. It's got to make us clean. I mean, strip us bare of all of our wild growings, our haphazard growings. You know they train those vines to go where they're supposed to go? Did you know that? And the good thing about vines is, if they're alive, they can be bent. Did you know that? Those vines can be bent if they're alive. If they're not alive, they'll just break. Right? Because they're dead. Y'all ever tried to bend something dead? It just breaks. Did you know that God is molding us and shaping us by His pruning? By His pruning. So some of the things that happen to us in our life is God's molding us and shaping us. Now I'm not telling you that everything is that way. But I'm telling you that if you'll look at things in the right perspective and gain some kind of insight as to what God's doing, you might not know what God's doing, but give Him thanks for it anyway. Whatever it is. When God prunes us back, He wants us to go this direction. He'll bend us and He'll kind of make us go that way and grow that way. Now, Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Did you know that you're nothing without Christ? We're nothing without Christ. Jesus tells us that there's nothing you can do on your own. Right? I mean, even a scripture as simple as this is teaching about election, really. That you can do nothing apart from yourself. If I'm not the branch, you can't bring forth fruit. I mean, if I'm not the vine, you can't bring forth fruit. If you're not in me, you can't bring forth fruit. If you're not a son, you can't be a disciple. Amen? Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. Now what does abide mean? It means to continue, to live, to continue, abide. What is an abode? Y'all know what an abode is? It's a house. It's a place where you live. That's where abode, abide, same thing. Live in God's house, so to speak. Live in Him, not just His house. This house, it's giving you some nourishment, but the nourishment don't come from the house. The nourishment comes from God. Amen? A lot of people come to a church where there's four walls and carpet and padded seats, and they receive no comfort from coming to the house. Why? It's because there's no comfort in the house. The house is not where the comfort comes from. The comfort comes from Jesus Christ. It comes from the vine. The nourishment comes from the vine. Y'all get that? Just like I'm a branch, and each one of you are individual branches on this vine, you don't receive nourishment from me. You may enjoy, you enjoy the same nourishment that I do, but you don't get your nourishment from me. I don't get it from you. I can rejoice in the nourishment that we get together by being in the same vine. Got it? So don't look to me for your nourishment. Don't look to each other for your nourishment. Look to God for your nourishment. Look to Christ for your nourishment, and enjoy your nourishment with the vines around you, the branches around you. Okay? Now, I am the vine, he says. Ye are the branches. That's something that we are, right? We're branches on the vine. He that abideth in me, and I in him. How do you bring forth fruit? You abide in him. The same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. He keeps on going the same thing. Without me, you can do nothing. Without abiding in the vine, you can do nothing. What happens if we're worried about the branches? What happens if one branch is worried about one the other branch and just puts all their stock in the branches? Get this. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So if two branches are not abiding in Christ, but trying to abide and get nourishment from each other, guess what happens? They're cut off. They wither away and they're burned. That's not good, is it? It's not good. What is Jesus telling us? He's telling us that you receive your nourishment from me, not the branches. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, there are a lot of things here that we could insert about prayer. How many of y'all pray? Do all of you pray? I'm sure you do. Do all of you always get what you ask for? No. Why is that? Why is that? The Bible tells us why we don't get what we pray for. Because we ask amiss, that we may consume it upon our lusts. You know what that means? That means that, just by an example, I always wanted, when I was little, I used to look at them Boys Life magazine, man, and they had glossy pictures and they were colored, and I thought, you know, growing back when I did, there wasn't too many flashy stuff, and I thought those were the, man, they made it look so good. And I always wanted me one of them old dirt bikes. And I used to dream about that. I prayed for a dirt bike. I never got it. I never got one. I probably would have killed myself if I did have one. But I never got a dirt bike. But why did I not? Because it would have been consumed. The reason I wanted it was because of my own lust, my own desire. That's why I wanted it. I didn't want it to further the kingdom. I didn't want it so that it could give God glory. A lot of people ask for Cadillacs. A lot of people ask for a lot of things, and they don't get them because they're not asked, because they're asking amiss. And you know what? I thank God that He didn't give me that thing that I wanted so bad, because I probably would have hurt myself and caused my mama and everybody else a lot of grief, and probably myself a lot of grief. But He says, if you abide in Me, and I in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now let me ask, here's the turnaround of that thing. This is not talking about somebody that's asking amiss. This is talking about somebody that's really abiding in Jesus Christ. And somebody that Jesus Christ is really abiding in. Someone who is so spiritually perceptive that they don't want to ask anything that they might consume it upon their own lust, but that they have the kingdom at their utmost, in their thoughts, and at the best interest of the kingdom at heart. Do you think God is going to, first of all, you're going to ask God for something to help you in His service? Do you think God's going to withdraw or keep back anything that you ask when it's going to give Him praise and honor and glory, or further His kingdom? I'll say no to that. I don't think God would hold back anything if you were abiding in Him and He's abiding in you, and you're spiritually perceptive and you're talking to Him and you have His glory as your utmost concern, and you really pray for something that would give Him the glory. I don't think He'd withhold that from you. Jesus said He would. He said, if you're really doing that, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. See, that's where a lot of these folks make the mistake. They think that stuff, ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. You notice that He said done unto you and not given unto you? That's something else. Think about it. That's where people make a mistake. They think that if you're godly, or you believe in Christ, then He'll give you whatever you want. Cadillac, dirt bikes, new fishing rod, boat, house, whatever. Whatever it is, whatever material thing. Then I wonder, and that's a lie from the devil. God didn't say that. That's a lie from the devil. And I wonder how people really think when they think that, I mean, that they're really loving God, and these people lie to them and they tell them that God will give you whatever you want. I wonder what they really think. I mean, godly people, when they listen to that and they ask people, or they ask God for stuff and they don't get it, I wonder what they think about God. You ever think about that? When they don't get it, when they don't get the stuff? Who did that? Satan did that, didn't he? He put a lie in front of them. And they did not, or they believed the lie. If I can, I want to read something to y'all. I got this from Elder Martin in Africa. If I can find it. Here it is. According to a 19th century legend, the truth and the lie meet one day. The lie says to the truth, "It's a marvelous day today." The truth looks up to the skies and sighs, for the day was really beautiful. They spend a lot of time together, ultimately arriving beside a well. The lie tells the truth. The water is very nice. Let's take a bath together. The truth, once again suspicious, tests the water and discovers that it indeed is very nice. They undress and start bathing. Suddenly, the lie comes out. Comes out of the water, puts on the clothes of the truth, and runs away. The furious truth comes out of the well and runs everywhere to find the lie and to get her clothes back. The world, seeing the truth naked, turns its gaze away with contempt and rage. The poor truth returns to the well and disappears forever, hiding therein its shame. Since then, here it is, since then the lie travels around the world, dressed as the truth, satisfying the needs of society because the world, in any case, harbors no wish at all to meet the naked truth. Do y'all understand that? That may be a legend, but it is true nonetheless that Satan, the father of lies, robes himself with the truth on the outside, but the inside harbors deceit and death, and that's his purpose. What did he do in the garden when he told Eve hadn't God told you you could eat of all the trees of the garden? She said, yeah, he did. And he did. But he forgot to mention that one. 99% true on the outside, right? But the motive was to deceive. Did you know that in God's service there are more lies spoken, given as truth, than the naked truth of Jesus Christ crucified for His people? Did you know that? People do not want to see the naked truth. They like to hear the lie. They like to see the clothes of the truth, but the lie is underneath. Y'all get it? According to the legend, that's what Satan uses every day. He clothes himself with part of the truth, but underneath is a great lie that does great despite to the glory of God. Little children, if we're going to abide in Him, we're going to really need to recognize what the truth is in our own lives. In our own lives. We got to realize where we are on the vine. And if God purges us back, don't get mad at the husbandman for doing it, because it's for our good. I've been pruned back a bunch of times. Bunch of times in my life. But the lie would tell you that God don't love you. Oh, but He does. He does it so that you'll bring forth more fruit. The lie will tell you that He don't care about you because He cut you off or done something. The truth is that He does love you. And it's for your own good. And it's for His glory. And if it's not for His glory, He's going to cut it off. I pray that we all would be so perceptive in our lives that when we pray, don't pray for things for us. We pray for the furtherance of the kingdom of God and our life in it. That God would give us the strength and the courage to do what He called us to do in His service. Doors of the church are open for reception of members. May the Lord bless you this week.